Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Alex Hall in Fresno. For the fourth time in eight seasons, the Warriors are on top of the NBA universe. Golden State defeated the Boston Celtics last night in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, 103-90. Warrior star Steph Curry was named Finals MVP after scoring 34 points in the finale. Here's Curry after the game.
You get goosebumps just thinking about, you know, all those snapshots and episodes that we went through to get back here, individually, collectively. And that's why I say I think this championship hits different. That's why I have so many emotions and still will, just because of what it took to get back here.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says this championship had a different feel to it.
I think this one may have been the most unlikely, just from the standpoint of where we've been the last couple of years. A lot of unknowns with injuries to Clay. Draymond at the end of the year, Steph at the end of the year, a lot of young guys, kind of a new core, or a new group around our core, I should say.
Back in the Bay Area, thousands of Warriors fans watched the game inside Chase Center, and afterwards, they had plenty to celebrate. Here's Kareem El-Shabaki from Castro Valley speaking with KQED.
It feels amazing after 2 years of winning a championship, playing, getting injured. Curry getting injured, everyone is doubting us, now we're champions, the odds were against us, everything was against the Warriors, but here we go, championship, MVP, what else can we say?
And here's Tom Temprano of San Francisco celebrating at a sports bar in the Castro District.
Getting a title with this group of people who have persevered over injuries, who have persevered through a really rough time, is probably the sweetest title this Warriors team has had yet. We worked the hardest for it. It was the most unexpected. And I think as fans, we're the most excited about this one that we've been about any of our titles.
And Warriors fans will have a chance to officially celebrate. A victory parade is scheduled for Monday morning through downtown San Francisco. The Food and Drug Administration has authorized the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines for emergency use for young children under the age of 5. The CDC's vaccine advisors still need to vote on whether to recommend the shots. That's scheduled to take place tomorrow. The director of the CDC will also have to sign off on the recommendation. The shots could be available as early as next week. And while that's good news for many anxious parents in California, COVID-19 cases are still rising across much of the state. In fact, the latest numbers from the CDC show that 19 California counties are now in what's considered high community level, which means masks are strongly recommended indoors. Dr. Bob Wachter, chair of the Department of Medicine at UC San Francisco, says he anticipates this latest surge to continue for at least another month, although the number of new cases may not see huge spikes like previous COVID waves. A Bay Area state senator is introducing a bill that would require California gun owners to have liability insurance. KQED's Nina Thorson has more.
The bill from Senator Nancy Skinner of Berkeley would make gun owners take out policies similar to car insurance that would make them financially responsible for injuries, damages, or deaths caused by the negligent or accidental use of their weapons. Skinner says that the annual cost of gun violence is $280 billion, and this would shift some of that financial burden to gun owners. The city of San Jose enacted its own gun insurance law earlier this year, which is facing a legal challenge. California would be the first state to require gun insurance if Skinner's bill becomes law, although New York is considering similar legislation. For the California Report, I'm Nina Thorson.
Immigrant detainees who work at two privately run detention facilities around Bakersfield have confirmed they are on strike. This comes as California's workplace health and safety regulators have opened an investigation into their working conditions at one of the detention centers. KQED's Farida Javala-Romero reports.
According to a new state law, private companies operating federal immigration detention centers must comply with California's health and safety regulations. Now, seven detainees have filed a complaint to Cal OSHA against GEO Group, a for-profit prison operator that runs the Golden State Annex facility where the detainees clean showers and bathrooms for $1 a day. One of them is Vladimir, who says the facility has failed to follow required COVID-19 protections. KQED is not using Vladimir's full name because he's afraid of retaliation. He also says that detainees are working in toxic conditions, encountering visible patches of black mold and a mysterious black dust coming from HVAC vents. And he says that they're sent to clean these areas without proper training or protective equipment, and that workers have asked facility administrators to address the hazards, but they've done nothing. Vladimir fears he developed a persistent cough and shortness of breath because of exposure to mold, which is linked to difficulty breathing and other respiratory problems. Attorney Lisa Knox is with the California Collaborative for Immigrant Justice, which filed the Cal OSHA complaint on behalf of the detained workers.
We want California to use its authority to protect the health and safety of these workers. And that means going in to inspect the facility.
She and other advocates also asked the California Attorney General's office to investigate other potential labor issues, like minimum wage violations. Already, a federal judge has ordered GEO Group to pay $23 million in Washington State for failing to pay the prevailing minimum wage.
And we want them to take appropriate action. So be that fines, be that requiring GEO to take action to address some of these issues.
GEO runs four out of seven immigration detention centers in California. In a statement, a spokesman denied that there's a strike and said the company strongly rejects the allegations and that all their facilities are maintained, quote, in accordance with all applicable federal sanitation standards and also meet COVID-19 guidance from the Centers for Disease Control. The Attorney General's office would only acknowledge it's reviewing the request. Cal OSHA says they have 6 months to issue citations if any safety and health violations are found at Golden State Annex. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala-Romero.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Glenn Burke is not a household name for most baseball fans, even though he played for both the LA Dodgers and Oakland A's in the late 70s. But Burke's legacy off the field resonates today, especially during Pride Month. That's because Burke was the first Major League Baseball player to come out publicly as gay. The A's are celebrating Glenn Burke Pride Night in Oakland this evening, and the Dodgers honored Burke during the team's Pride Night earlier this month. For more on Glenn Burke's career and legacy, The California Report's Keith Mizuguchi spoke with author Andrew Marinus, who wrote the book Singled Out, The True Story of Glenn Burke.
As a minor league baseball player, he did quite well. He hit over 300, I think, five times as a minor leaguer. He set stolen base records in a couple of different leagues that he played in. And Dodgers coach Junior Gilliam said that Glenn had the potential to be the next Willie Mays, which is quite high praise. When he made it up to the Dodgers briefly in 1976, but really his rookie season was 77 season, Dodgers end up going to the World Series. And Glenn played an important role on that team as a rookie fourth outfielder, playing quite a bit in center field after the starting center fielder Rick Monday was injured. And more important even than Glenn's playing ability that year was just his personality. Dusty Baker and Davey Lopes both told me he was the most popular player on the team.
Glenn Burke was traded very early on in his career with the Dodgers, and for a player that, as you mentioned, showed the type of potential being compared to one of the all-time greats in baseball history, Willie Mays, That just doesn't happen very often. I imagine there was a lot of shock coming from his teammates within the Dodgers organization.
You know, to show the sort of the status that Glenn had in the organization at that time, he started two games in the National League Championship Series in 1977 against the Phillies. He started game one of the World Series at Yankee Stadium. And so after that 1977 season, there was a meeting scheduled between Glenn and Al Campanis, the general manager of the Dodgers up in Oakland. And Glenn thought it was a meeting to talk about what his role would be on the team the next year. Instead, Campanis had arrived to try to convince Glenn to cover up his sexuality. By this point, not only did Glenn's teammates know that he was gay, but management did too. Importantly, Tommy Lasorda, whose own son, Tommy Jr., was gay, knew about it and did not approve of the friendship that Glenn had struck up with Tommy Jr. And so Campanis told Glenn Burke in this meeting in the offseason after the 77 season that he would like Glenn to get married. And Glenn said, to a woman? And when Campanis said yes, Burke said he wasn't going to do that. Campanis then offered him $75,000 for a nice honeymoon, which would be a heck of a honeymoon now, let alone in 1977. And Glenn realized it was a bribe to cover up who he was. Glenn refused to go along with it, knowing that that meant his days with the Dodgers were numbered. And so by the time spring training rolls around in 1978, there are already articles in the Los Angeles papers about how the Dodgers were losing confidence in Glenn Burke. The reporters didn't know why, and Campanis and Lasorda weren't saying why. They were saying it had more to do with Glenn's playing ability, but there are other reasons why they wanted to get rid of him. And so he was traded early in that 78 season to Oakland for Billy North, a veteran outfielder.
It took the Dodgers until this season and this month to finally honor Glenn Burke on Pride Night. Why do you think it took the team so long to do so?
Yeah, I was disappointed incredibly that it took the Dodgers so long. I mean, it's wonderful that Glenn was honored and is honored by the Oakland A's in his hometown. But the Dodgers are the team that drafted him. It's the team that he came up in the minor leagues for. It's the team that he played in the World Series for. And that's the team that I think has the credibility because of, not in spite of, their mistreatment of Glenn to do the most meaningful work on this issue that still plagues Major League Baseball and how it treats its gay fans, how closeted gay players in the major leagues, how they may feel about how they would be treated by their teammates or by management. And so it was incredibly disappointing that the Dodgers waited so long. I think it had to do with the power of Tommy Lasorda. While he was living, I do not think the Dodgers wanted to sort of bring up what they thought was a painful or embarrassing moment in their past that was so directly tied to this legendary manager of the team. And so it's not too surprising to me that here a year or so after Lasorda has passed away, that issue is removed a little bit, that they decided to honor Glenn.
Andrew Marinus is the author of Singled Out, The True Story of Glenn Burke. Andrew, thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Keith.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing people with financial tools like the Retirement Planner to help them achieve their financial goals. PersonalCapital.com. Paint Care, now with 834 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org.
And that's the California Report for Friday, June 17th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin, Jim Bennett, and Brendan Willard, with assistance from Seal Muller. Our producers are Mary Franklin Harvin and Keith Mizuguchi. Our senior editor is Angela Corral. Our director of news is Vinnie Tong. Our executive editor is Ethan Tovin Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Alex Hall. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.